Yo, what up, you know who it is, it's your boy Petey Pete, you're now live with Word on the Street. Yes, Petey Pete, aka Pete Richardson, the owner and creator of Saving Athletes, respectfully, you know how we do, we get you educated, motivated, and also inspired, you know what I'm saying? But right now on the line, I got a special lady on the phone. She's a strong black lady coming from Muskogee, Oklahoma. We went to high school together. That's just how deep our roots goes back. I done had her on the show before. And now she's in the transition, and I would say she's living her dream. But right now on the show, I do got Miss Oklahoma Sooner, Miss Queen of Eye Opener TV, Brooke Thomas. What's up, Brooke?
I know, right?
You and especially with you being on morning TV, you know your nights become early. You know what I'm saying?
My days are just pushed together. I don't know what. My days are just pushed together. I never know what time it is. But yeah, I do know what time it is.
You want to know something funny? I was actually running today, and Big Sean came on, and he said, "I work 8 days a week. I don't know which day it is." I was like, yeah, I can pretty much feel a man working 8 days a week, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but anyways, we're gonna go ahead and jump right into it, Miss Thomas. I know you gotta go ahead and get to bed. So go ahead and tell everybody like just a brief little history, like where you went to high school and college and everything.
Yeah, I went to high school in Muskogee with you. I think I'm a year ahead of you. I think I graduated a year before you in the high school in Muskogee, Oklahoma, right outside of Tulsa, if you are not familiar with Muskogee. I went to college at the University of Oklahoma, graduated there, took a job shooting my own stuff, editing my own stuff, setting up my own live shots in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. It was the roughest experience of my life. It was just feet of snow, it felt like, on the ground at all times. I carried this giant camera and tripod, and I opened up the station and closed it. I worked by myself every day outside of the people I would interview and the sources I would talk to work on stories. I didn't see anyone. I would sit in the office alone. So that was a rough jump into the business, but it got me going and started getting some of those student loans paid off. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And then I took a job in Lubbock, which is probably... it's just one of the greatest experiences of my life, believe it or not. I was in West Texas. I reconnected with you there.
That was crazy, too.
We hung out a little bit there. I know. It was so random because you rarely ever see people from Muskogee once you move out and around. But I was weekend anchor, a nightside reporter there during the week. A lot of crime stories, a lot of breaking news stories. I produced my own show on the weekend and anchored it as well. And then I took a job in Memphis, which was another amazing experience. I worked with the amazing Merle Purvis. If you don't know who that is, Google her. You will be amazed. She's fantastic. A lot to learn from. She taught me a lot. She was amazing to work with. Ken Joe, my boss there, he hired me. He was fantastic. Nick Burchett. I mean, I have a long list of people who just took care of me and helped me grow in Memphis. I was an early morning anchor there in Memphis, so my early morning career kind of started there. I was able to get used to it in Lubbock, though. So being the weekend anchor, I filled in for the morning anchor a lot, and he would take me up. He had been working for the station for years, so he had a lot of vacation he would do. So I had his back when he took vacation. So I started working in Memphis. I think our show started at 4:30 in the morning. And I would get up, get to work, anchor the show for an hour and a half, and then I would, I worked on air with three people, Scott Mattis, Trey Paul, and Ed Eckel. Those are my boys that I worked with on air in Memphis. They were fantastic. Mallory, our producer, was amazing. I would anchor an hour and a half, and then I would go out live in the field, and I would do sometimes 20 live shots a day, and that would be before my day is over. Sometimes I would, you know, stay out in the field and turn a story for later, or come back in the studio and anchor another show, our midday show. So it was a busy, busy time. Now I'm in Dallas, Texas, working on a national show. Here we are in Dallas, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Portland, Houston, We are live in those cities every morning. We shoot here in Dallas. It's called Eye Opener. It's a pretty cool show, kind of a different take on morning news. If you feel like you're watching the news, it's boring, everybody looks alike, you're bored with it, it's too, you know, negative, and you want something more upbeat. Upright colors are even good enough reason to switch channels. You know, so it's a cool show, and so I'm happy being there. Oh, I just talked for a long time. You ask me a question. You tell me about yourself, P. What's new with you?
Well, I definitely was, didn't have to go to North Dakota, you know what I'm saying?
No, but you're doing your thing on the radio, I like this.
Oh, yeah, man, it's such a blessing, just like I was telling you earlier, I received an email from Blog Talk, and I'm beyond, like, iTunes, doing a syndicated thing, so that's a step up, still doing my thing here for 104.9 The Beat. And Soul Radio is just, I just had a phone call. I'm going to be doing a semi-pro championship game in Dallas, June 20th, hosting a wedding June 19th. So Soul Radio it's definitely been a blessing. You know what I'm saying?
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, appreciate that, man. You know, being down here in Lubbock, you know how it is. But, What brings me to my next question, like you going from North Dakota to Lubbock to Memphis, and then now to Dallas, doing your thing, Eye Opener. So did you have help like along the way? Like, do you have an agent?
I do have an agent. I have the most fantastic agent forever. Her name is Jennifer Lee. She's the best agent in the world. She's a great, it's like a partnership out of heaven. He's fantastic to work with. Not only cares about your work life, but your personal life, because, you know, a lot of times those have to mesh for you to be 100% happy, and he's just good with goals, good with managing it, and helping you talk through things and think through things, and he's just great. I feel like this is our career.
Wow, I can dig that because, you know, it's pretty much like a partnership, you know what I'm saying? And I think in the sports world, I think people can make and get away without doing with the agent, but not, and just not getting into the broadcaster world and stuff. You know, being how to, because you get told no a lot. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, like, that could be discouraging and things like that. But I feel like having an agent in the broadcasting world and things of that nature, I really find it really beneficial. So that's what's up. Big ups on that. So with that being said, you big time on Eye Opener TV. You gorgeous. You real smart. So I bet you get a lot of dudes. You know what I'm saying? Coming down, or I could be wrong. What's that?
It's probably about as normal as any other girl that walks outside every day.
Now, I don't know. We did go to high school together. I mean, so I knew everybody. Oh, what's up with Brooke? I'm like, I don't know. So do you find it hard to date?
I don't think it's hard to date. You know, I think the schedule makes life hard. So I think, you know, I have to just remind myself that I'm young and, you know, I wanted to be in a bigger city for a reason. And so you got to force yourself sometimes to enjoy life when all you really want to do is sleep. But it's always worth it. I always say, I mean, I have coworkers who go to bed at like 2 p.m. and they are well rested the next day. And sometimes I'm tired because I do, you know, I have a lot of work to do. But I never regret staying up a little later. I never regret going out to a basketball game, going out to dinner, going up and catching up with some friends who work, you know, a later shift than I do. I never regret missing out on a little bit of sleep.
Oh, man, I know that's right. They say if you enjoy the time, then that is not time wasted. So whenever you want to be a little deviant, which I really don't call it being deviant, but I say, hey, if I had a good time, so, hey, that's cool with me. I can make it up. You know what I'm saying? So you say it's normal, which I don't believe that. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe that at all. I'm sorry. But being on the air, so do you want to, like, or do you, like, imagine, like, whenever you decide to settle down, do you imagine dating somebody within the industry, or would you just date somebody from McDonald's, my cousin?
I
No, I'm playing, but just date a regular dude.
Open. I've always been open to anybody. If he's cool and he's fun and he loves his mama, I'm in.
Loves his mama.
Try me and see what happens. Whatever, you know.
I hear you. So, would you rather date somebody in the industry, or are you just saying it just don't matter?
It doesn't matter to me. Like, you know, it doesn't matter. When you're single and you're out there and you're having fun, you should just be open to anything. You never know where the biggest bottle of fun, the best love, what package that's wrapped up in. You never know. I always think you should just be open to anything.
Oh, yeah, man. I completely agree. I read a quote one day. I read a quote one day where this dude was like, "Man, I'm every poor woman's dream, but every rich woman's nightmare." And I was like, "Oh my goodness."
Yeah.
I was like, "Yeah." I was just like, "Yeah, some crazy people out there." But anyways, the thoughts about Baltimore. You know, you coming from an area, Muskogee, Oklahoma. And things in that nature. So, for you people don't know, man, Muskogee got it, man, we a little hood down there. For y'all that don't know, but anyways, with all the rioting and the looting and stuff that's going on in Baltimore, just tell me, how do you feel about what's going on and like how, you know, us as black people is being portrayed.
Goes, I think you have to wait and see what happens. I think we got to wait until every single ounce of information comes out. And I think a lot of people were frustrated because they feel like information wasn't going to come out. And so now it looks like, you know, this is going to go to a trial possibly. This is going to go to where people will have the answers they're looking for.
Mm.
And as far as, this was an interesting, I feel like a lot of tweets and a lot of messages, Facebook messages about email, people, you know, being upset with, like, different coverage around America about this. A lot of people were really upset about the word thug. They felt like, you know, there's so much racial connotation behind that. So we actually put together an interesting piece on the word thug and its usage. And, you know, it's kind of hard. People are pointing out, that it's hard to find other instances of other races being called thugs when they do something bad. And, you know, so I started, you know, looking it up. And a lot of people on Facebook, you know, it looked like it was half and half. I got a lot of comments, probably the most comments on something I've had all year. Any post on Facebook any question I kind of threw out there, and it was kind of 50-50 people saying, yes, there are absolute racial connotations, and 50 the other half saying, no, it's a word we use to describe criminals. So I started looking into that. And one thing I found out was, you know, Richard Sherman, the Seattle Seahawks player, you remember when he got real excited after the football game and was talking to Aaron Andrews, and he was yelling and he was real excited. He got called thug on TV across America 625 times that next day after the Super Bowl. And
wow.
He said, I'm not a criminal. Brad, he's a dad now. He was the Super Bowl champ, you know, that day. So it was interesting research for me, just coming from, you know, people's frustrations, and they like to, not necessarily if they saw it on our show, but just, you know, get our thoughts about it. And it always becomes something that I want to look up. And I saw people were sending me links to politicians bringing up absent black fathers and saying these are fatherless sons, and, you know, mentioning the people out there rioting. Yeah, the CDC actually, there's a study out, you know, today the CDC actually debunked the whole absent black father myth and pointed out, you know, this, you know, black fathers just as in tune with their kids as Latino fathers, and white fathers. So I thought that was an interesting study and a very timely study to come out there. I think we have to be careful about how we describe people and make sure that the coverage is fair and that we try our hardest to delete all racial connotations out of our mouth when we describe other people. You can absolutely have the facts there about a situation. You can absolutely, you know, vilify negative behavior without bringing race into it.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are my thoughts on that. I think we're in some, you know, important times, you know, in our lives right now. across the nation. And so I'm, as a journalist, you know, I will definitely continue to follow the Freddie Gray case and see what comes of it. I also want to point out, as a black woman, as a young black woman, as far as, like, I think of my future kids and the role models they will have to look up to, and someone pointed out, because, you know, they had the mayor in Baltimore is a black woman. The state's attorney prosecuting this case now is a young black woman. The woman who led the National Guard in to help stop the rioting is a black woman.
Wow.
And our newest U.S. attorney is a black woman.
Wow.
And so as far as how blacks are portrayed, I think it would be cool to focus on that a little bit, because that is cool. That's something that would be great for young black kids to see. Young kids to see, period. Young girls to see. Anybody. It's inspiring.
Yeah, man, I think, and that's something that, that's a great angle, you know what I'm saying, to look at it, because most people not looking at it like that. Most people is looking at it trying to pull each and every negative way that they can, you know what I'm saying? So that's an interesting perspective right there. So I think you might be onto something right there, bro.
Well, you know, it was fascinating for me to see, you know, four black women in power. Anytime you see anyone who looks like you doing something positive, living their dreams, it's great to see. It's good to see anybody doing something positive, living their dreams, is great to see. But, you know, it's no shocker that, you know, our people are not always represented like we like them to be.
Right.
To point out something great.
Yeah, man, something great, and which brings me to this, you know, to sum everything up. So now you do got black women, and now you do got black women that's out there. Now you do got women that's right now about to run for president. So what's some great advice would you give to that young female that's coming up in elementary right now that's looking for a role model but doesn't really have one, because, you know, she's just sitting there. She just goes to school every day, and her mom just goes to work in a 9-to-5. You know, so, like, what's some advice would you give that young buck that's coming up?
I mean, I think, you know, when you get to college and you to get your first job, when you graduate, even when you get to college, a lot of people have to work full time during college. I think you'll start to see how much your regular mom who works in my 9-to-5, how much of a real role model she is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, women are amazing. Mothers are amazing. They're amazing role models, and you kind of, like, take for granted how hard they work for you and everything they do for you and how important that is. But, I always say, you know, dreams are big for a reason, and I think they're all attainable. I think dream big. Don't let anybody tell you. Dream killers are so rampant running around out there, but they're not built intact. You know, don't just look at what's around you, what people close to you may say. Don't look at the negativity. Just keep going.
Yeah, I know that's right. Just keep going, because sometimes it is hard to sometimes the negativity, you know, does kind of get to you. But everybody's human. No one's perfect. You know what I mean? So that's what Ms. Thomas does. That's what she's saying. Just keep going no matter what. Like, do what you got to do. You know what I'll be telling them haters? Move on out the way. Don't ruin my day. You know what I'm saying? But
Yeah.
Well, all right, Ms. Thomas. You got anything else? You got, like, whenever you having some hard times, you have, like, a quote that you refer back to? Or is there just anything that take about 5 seconds that you want to say something? You know what I'm saying? Or but no, that's cool. Cause
let me think about that, and I'll get back to you next time. Okay.
Yeah. That's why I'm gonna have to bring you back on. You know what I'm saying? Well, but that's cool. Well, all right, Ms. Thomas. I really do wish you nothing but the best. I know you got great things in store. I know you're gonna be the next Oprah. You know what I'm saying? And I know you're gonna be doing your thing. So with that being said, I just continue to go get it and stay humble. Okay. All right, Ms. Thomas, you have a great night, and I'll talk to you sometime later on.
Okay, this was fun. Have a good night, and congratulations on all your success, man.
Oh, already. Appreciate that.
Bye.
All right.